in central Bombay on Warden Road. He used to invite the devotees on Saturday or Sunday to do Harinam Sankirtan in Goragam, which was the suburb where he lived, which was even further from the city than Jubu. And then after the Harinam Sankirtan, he'd feed the devotees prasad. So he was a member of a group called Radha Madhav Satsang
Mandali.
And they had the practice, they were all householders, and they had the practice of meeting every Sunday and doing Akhand Hare Krishna Kirtan. That means they would chant Hare Krishna Kirtan continuously for 12 hours, from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And then from 6 to 8 they would sing songs from Vraj. And the last song was Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Sri Radhe. So, in maybe March, March or April of 1977, he approached me because he wanted to arrange the Akhand Kirtan at the temple. And at the time, we had the small temple, which is like a shed. So, but the project was almost ready to open. Yeah, the project was almost ready to open, and Srila Prabhupada was staying upstairs in his quarters. So the devotees came, and our devotees also joined them in the chanting Hare Krishna Kirtan. And really, the mood of the devotees was to please Srila Prabhupada. Although we were chanting in front of the deities, but at a certain stage, the mood became to especially attract the attention of Srila Prabhupada. So the lift in the new building wasn't working. So Srila Prabhupada, and as it is, he was in very fragile health. So he couldn't come down, and it wasn't practical for the devotees to walk up the stairs, and they couldn't have fit there, and in any case, they had to maintain the kirtan in the temple. So there was this loving pull where the devotees were chanting Hare Krishna and Srila Prabhupada was hearing and relishing, but he couldn't come down and they couldn't come up. And then finally, the devotees came out of the temple and started to chant under Srila Prabhupada's window. And then Srila Prabhupada came out on the balcony and sort of glanced down upon them. They were looking up at him, and it was like a wonderful reciprocation of love. And then they went back and continued the kirtan in front of the deities. At six, as usual, they began the Vraj songs. And there was one woman who would sing Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Radhe. And that was like the highlighter, the climax.
After so many hours of kirtan,
And Mr. Sethi told me later that when she began to sing, tears started to stream down Srila Prabhupada's cheeks. And that was the end of the day, wonderful day of kirtan. Then the next day, Srila Prabhupada called me and told me how much he liked the kirtan. And he said that we should invite the whole Radha Madhav Sankirtan Mandali, to stay at Hare Krishna land and just do Akhand Kirtan. And he would provide them accommodations and prasadam. So I didn't think, I thought it was a nice idea, but I didn't think it would work. I didn't think they would agree. And I didn't know how we would manage. Then Srila Prabhupada said, then at least our devotees, they should do Akhand Kirtan every day, 12 hours, just like they had done. So I said, I don't know why I said it, but I said that, but Srila Prabhupada, we have so much service to do. We, you know, the whole past 5 years, Srila Prabhupada was just struggling to build the temple, open the temple. So then Srila Prabhupada said, all right, then at least on Sunday. And I said, all right, on Sunday. And then it was agreed. And we did it. We did it for many years. And I remember all problems used to be solved. I had the same experience on Padyatra and Mauritius, just doing so much Harinam Sankirtan for hours every day and practically nothing else. All problems would get solved. So I would deal with the problems at the beginning of the week, but by Thursday I would figure, well, it's just two or three more days until we do the Akhand Kirtan, and then the problems will be solved automatically. We'll get the solutions. And then I would just say, well, you know, give me a few days. And then they would all get solved. But later, Kamal Krishna Goswami explained to me the principle of transcendental bargaining with Srila Prabhupada. Where...
What, pray tell, does that mean?
It means that Srila Prabhupada would ask for more than he wanted or expected.
Right.
And that would like bring us up, and then he would come down and then we would agree. And then I thought back of when he said that, you know, the devotees should do Akhand Kirtan for 12 hours a day, every day. And then I said, well, Srila Prabhupada, we have so much service to do. And then he said, well, then at least on Sunday. And then he said, okay.
I felt that's what, a good deal.
Yeah. Because if he would have started with 12 hours on Sunday, when he said, well, how about 4 hours? And then we might have ended up at 8 hours or something.
Yeah. Could you tell about that time when, two things. One is about, was it Mrs. Warrior? With the violin?
Oh, Mrs. Singhal.
Mrs.
Singhal, yeah.
Yes, well,
Mrs. Singhal is another staunch devotee of Srila Prabhupada.
Do you like some water now?
Sort of like...
Actually, there's bottles of water there. Just bring a bottle for each of us.
Bottles, okay.
Yeah.
She lived about 20 minutes drive from the temple. She and her husband, Dr. Singhal. And one day she invited Srila Prabhupada to come and take prasad at her place, and Srila Prabhupada agreed. So a few hours later, Srila Prabhupada was in the car with Tamal Krishna Goswami and me, and maybe one other who I don't remember. And, you know, Mrs. Singhal received us in the proper Vedic way and, like, offered Archie to Srila Prabhupada and sort of offered the remnants to us. And then invited him to sit down, so we all sat down on the floor and we were taking prasad. And then towards the end of the meal, she and one of her lady friends burst into the room. She was like playing a violin and singing Hare Krishna. And
first I'd like to add, so this was in front of Prabhupada?
Yeah. We were sitting in a row, Srila Prabhupada, Tamal Krishna Goswami, and me.
Two
and maybe one other.
Matavis.
Burst in. One of them playing violin.
And,
in the picture.
Yeah.
And then, so just how would Prabhupada little, react to this?
Well, I didn't see him immediately, because I was sitting next to Tamal Krishna Goswami, and I turned. And he was making a face like, you know, what is this?
Who was making a face?
Tamal Krishna Goswami was making a face. And then Srila Prabhupada turned to him and said, this is spontaneous Vaishnavism. They are naturally Vaishnavas. You have to learn to be Vaishnavas. So,
one more question.
Okay.
When I remember going to Bombay in, I think it was the early 90s, and there was one group of ladies who's to come one day a week.
Yes.
And chant.
Yes.
Maybe you could tell how. And I was amazed. And you, I remember you telling me that Prabhupada had asked them to do that. And
yeah.
This was 13 years later or something, or 14, 15 years later. And they
yeah.
were still coming one day a week. Maybe you could tell how that
yeah.
happened.
Well, that was actually Mrs. Singhal. She started like a woman's bhajan group. And they would come and sing songs and chant Hare Krishna in front of the deities every Tuesday afternoon. And she maintained it. Well, I think she's probably maintaining it now.
She is.
20 years later.
At least when I left in 1997, she was still doing
it. Yeah. And she's
25.
She's seen how our programs begin and stop, our devotees come and go.
Yeah.
And she's still doing it every Tuesday afternoon.
Prabhupada just, what made Prabhupada, what inspired Prabhupada to suggest that she does that?
Well, she was, you know, very inspired by Srila Prabhupada, and she wanted to do service. And Srila Prabhupada was expert at engaging people. Who came forward to offer service. And he told her two things. One, that she should have meetings with ladies and read to them from the Bhagavatam. But that didn't happen very much. And, but the kirtan did. The kirtan did. And what can I say? Hare Krishna land. He wanted that Hare Krishna should always be heard on the Hare Krishna land. But it turns out that she's also a poet in Hindi and Urdu also. And she wrote poems and she would read them to Srila Prabhupada and he appreciated them. And once she wrote an article for Back to Godhead called Krishna Leela at Hare Krishna Land, basically about the whole struggle, seeing it as Krishna's Leela. And you know, Srila Prabhupada said, you know, he told her that I'm going to send it to back to Godhead to be published. And it was never published. And I suppose I thought, well, maybe Srila Prabhupada was just encouraging her. And then years later, I heard a tape of a conversation of Srila Prabhupada in Hawaii, where Srila Prabhupada somehow said, I guess he was talking about Juhu and he thought of the article. He said, I sent it to the editors to publish. Why haven't they published it?
Yeah.
So he actually did appreciate.
Did they publish it?
No, they never
because
published
Mrs. Sinhal,
it.
When I, you know, when I went to Bombay that time in 1995, and you, I think you somehow the first time she saw me, she mentioned that article.
Yeah. I published it.
How was it published?
Yeah. No, they never did. They never did.
And then I think after that, at that time, did you got it published?
Well, I published it in our local magazine
called
Hare Krishna Monthly, but they never published it. Maybe they should do that. Actually, 25th anniversary might have been a good occasion. But one other thing that came to mind about the holy name was in Los Angeles, because I had, you know, I had been serving in India, and then I got jaundice, and finally Srila Prabhupada said, you should go back. He said as long as Giriraj stays in Bombay, he'll never be able to recover. So then I went to America and spent a few days in Chicago and then came to L.A. And Vishnujan Maharaj had written an article for BTG and Srila Prabhupada read it. And he praised the article. There were just a few of us in his room. He praised the article and it said, it's because of him spending so many hours chanting the holy names every day that he's able to write so nicely.
Mrs. Singhal, did she put out a little book at one point?
Yeah, she
so that's how I remember.
Yeah.
So I remember one story that she went to visit Prabhupada, maybe with a husband there. Do you remember that? And Prabhupada answered. She knocked on the door, and Prabhupada answered himself. Do you remember that?
Not yet.
I heard the story, but I can't remember.
And then she said. He said, you're here all alone. These people have left you all alone. And Prabhupada said, sometimes I like to be alone. I like that story. Prabhupada said.
That's a good one.
I think that, Small Krishna Maharaj, you know, that last festival, in Mayapur, before he passed away, you know, he started that kirtan, the Indian.
Mm.
And all the elements were already there, and all the devotees were big kirtaniyas were already there, like Niranjan Maharaj, and Govinda Maharaj, and Shivara Maharaj, and Radhanath Maharaj, and the big kirtaniyas. But it never really, and everybody talked about it, but it never really kind of like came to it.
Mm.
And then with Small Krishna Maharaj, with his you know, inevitable and you know, unique way, was able to bring all those personalities together, and then it started. And then by the time, you know, the end of that 2 weeks was done, the kirtans, of course, you have those CDs, you listen to them, they were just somewhere else, you know, when we're all in another world, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, just before he left, he told me that, the day before he left, he told me that he was hoping that that would be established, you know, as a permanent teacher and even a movement within the movement, you know?
I had a discussion with him about that.
Yeah.
I said, wouldn't it be nice if chanting Hare Krishna became the next fad in the Hare Krishna movement?
I don't know if they know this, but in my position, I didn't go to my position, I was in a marathon doing some editing work, but the GD DC actually only had half the meetings this year. And you know, and what did they do the second half? They had kirtan together. They had Bhajan and kirtan together. And every night, they continued that kirtan as just as Mokesh Maharaj had it. And they say, I wasn't there, but I've seen it now, they say that the Lord was the nicest it's ever been spiritually at a GVC meeting. So it seems that there is a, you know, a trend in the right direction.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that Mokesh Maharaj, we're all, you know, sitting here and we all love him and we're all close to him in so many different ways. And,
well, let's do kirtan then.
Yeah, that's what we're here for.
We did that this morning.
Today is the disappearance day of Srivas Thakur.
Wow.
And the celebration should be following the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to go to the house of Srivas Thakur to perform kirtan. And it was Nityananda Prabhu and Mahaprabhu, they chant and they dance. So hearing from the mouth, lotus mouth of the senior Vaishnavas here would be the most appropriate thing in the beginning. So we have two exalted Vaishnavas sitting here. They should lead us in that mood.
He is from Srivas Thakur's own place.
I think Krishna pulled the charm. And then
I wish Krishna pulled my tongue. That would be the best thing in my life.
Please, some kirtan. An honor.
We do. We want you to start it.
Okay.
You start it, and then we'll see what happens from there.
I want to hear what Veera's mind has to say. Because he is the leading senior person at this time.
I think without any further ado, we should begin the kirtan.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Stop talking again.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Journey, Gopal Kumar had met Lord Shiva, and there were different auspicious personalities around, and they were discussing various aspects of devotional service. And then they heard this from a distance. They heard this sound. The sound was a kirtan party, and the kirtan party was a group of Vaikuntha dutas who were coming from Vaikuntha on their way to the material world on a mission to deliver fallen conditioned souls. So when the Vaikuntha Dutas saw Gopal Kumar, they became ecstatic, and the kirtan became, you know, ecstatic. And the reason they became ecstatic was because, being all-knowing, they knew when they saw Gopal Kumar, who, as you know, was like a cowherd boy. He was dressed like a cowherd boy, and even though he had gone through all these different situations, and he had been in extraordinary circumstances, he had even been offered, you know, to take different forms and different bodies and take different processes, and it had even been promoted to the perfectional stages of different processes of self-realization. For instance, when he passed through Tapaloka, he had this incredible conversation with Pipalaya Rishi, in which the Rishi tried to convince him to stay with them on Tapaloka and take up the process of meditation, you know, which they were promoting as the topmost expression of devotional service. And the conversation that they had was just incredible. All the things that Pipalaya Rishi told Gopal Kumar in order to try to convince him that meditation was actually the topmost devotional service, because meditation goes on in the mind is more subtle, it can retain memories and retain experiences longer than the material senses, and the process of chanting and other external forms of devotional service are done with the indriyas, with the senses, and therefore, you know, they obviously are inferior, therefore he should stay with them and take up meditation. So, you know, Gopal Kumar was always receptive to whatever environment he was in, but because he was, you know, a cowherd boy by nature and by his original form, he was never completely satisfied with any of these things. So, in order to convince Gopal Kumar, the rishis, they were so advanced in meditation. This is not ordinary meditation. When we think of this, we have to adjust a little bit our consciousness, because these were not just ordinary. It's not that their meditation was thinking about the Lord or thinking how much they love the Lord or praying to the Lord. Their level of meditation was so deep that they could, that when they were meditating on a particular deity that they were meditating on or worshipping, their form would change into that form of the deity physically. So you can imagine what that would do if you were sitting in front of the person who's meditating in front of you, and all of a sudden he changes into the form of the personality of God that he's meditating on. I mean, that would be quite a stirring experience, to say the least. And then, you know, then that wasn't enough. They could see that Gopal Kumar still was a little hesitant, so they gave him, they imparted their ability to meditate to him, such that wherever he looked, he would see that form of the Lord. Now, despite all that experience, you know, heavy spiritual experience, Gopal Kumar was not completely satisfied. And then he started to chant the Gopal mantra that he was given by his spiritual master dutifully and loyally and with devotion, and it carried him to the next place. So the Vaikuntha Dutas were so impressed with Gopal Kumar because of this quality that he had, you know, that he was so devoted to Madan Gopal, and he was so devoted to the holy name that they began to praise him. And then, out of their mercy, they began to instruct him further, because you know, Gopa Kumara was just a, like an 8-10-year-old cowherd boy. And he was uneducated. When he started on this journey, he didn't know anything about anything. He just had this very deep, deeply ingrained loyalty to the order of his spiritual master, and was very dutifully chanting the mantra that he gave him. So, I want to read to you a little section of the merciful instructions that the Vaikuntha Dutas gave to Gopa Kumara about the holy name. And it's a little long to read the whole thing at this point. So I was thinking of just taking a section of it and reading it. You know, sitting next to this educator over here is... I have to get my priorities straight, right? So the level of meditation that the Vaikuntha Dutas are talking about here is very, very deep. And I'll just read the verses, a few verses, to get us into it. And then I'll read the verses and the commentaries that highlight the part I want to highlight. So this is the Purva Paksha. Vaikuntha Dutas are speaking. We ourselves are evidence of this truth. As associates of the Lord of Vaikuntha, we constantly spread devotional service in many ways and yet are untouched by the material modes. Devotional service appears to new servants of the Lord to be a function of their own senses, body, and mind, so that such neophytes can engage in devotional service with relish, as they should. Commentary. When one undertakes devotional service, one perceives one's devotional activities to the external functions of the material body. Why should such direct perception be denied? It should be denied because such perception is only the experience of beginners in devotional service. Bhakti encourages those who are new to the Lord's service to think, "Oh, my own tongue is vibrating the names of God, and my own ears are hearing them." In this way, the faith of the neophytes is evoked, since otherwise they would have difficulty making the effort required to surrender their independence. Text 142. But great devotees fixed in devotional service do not think the services they do to be actions under their own control, but expressions of the Lord's supreme mercy. Text 143. If you are in a hurry to see the divine world of Vaikuntha, then go to Sri Vraj Bhumi, the place that can best award the fulfillment of all of your ambitions. Simply practice pure devotional service, mainly in the form of Nam Sankirtan, with the hope of gaining the eternal contact of the Lord's divine lotus feet by that devotional service, you will soon realize the treasure of prema. And you will easily see Krishna in Vaikuntha. Now we come to the Purva Paksha. Purva Paksha means the argument that he's going to refute. Some think that remembering rather than chanting is the essential means of devotional practice, the means that most effectively leads to prema. For bhakti, in the form of chanting, appears quickly and easily, and in only one sense, that of speech, which is not itself alive and conscious. This is still the Purva Paksha. Superior bhakti, in the form of remembering, they think, appears within the mind. That turbulent, frightful, and mighty chief of all the senses. When, by serious efforts, the mind has been brought under control and fully purified. But we consider chanting to be alone the most excellent form of bhakti, better than remembering, which appears only in one's own turbulent heart. For chanting harnesses not only the faculty of speech, which it engages directly, but also the mind and sense of hearing. And chanting helps not only the person practicing it, but others as well. So we'll start reading the first book. This is the section I wanted to read, but we'll start with the commentary. Commentary. Digdarshini. The first translation of the Digdarshini commentary of Sanatana Goswami of Brihat Bhagavatamrita in the English language. Period. Even Gaudiya Math has not translated this commentary. Commentary. This is the Vaikuntha Dutta's own opinion. Smarana is purely an internal function, but kirtan, which actively employs one's power of speech, affects both one's internal and external environments. Kirtan also acts on the mind, bringing it subconsciously into contact with all spiritual sensory functions. It is this, if this subtle contact were not established, the spirit soul could not awaken to its real life. The transcendental sound of kirtan enters the ears on its own strength, without any effort by the hearer, and thus it benefits not only the chanter, but everyone who hears it, treating them all as its subservient dependents. The process of remembrance does not have such power. In fact, as long as the mind's fickle character has not changed, smarana cannot manifest itself fully. When we realistically consider the relative value of smarana and kirtan, we find, therefore, that the difficulty of performing smarana does not make smarana more important. In the Vishnu Purana 6.8.57, the sage Parasha has said, "One who fixes his mind on Lord Achyuta will never go to hell. Indeed, by thinking about him, one will attain heaven. For one whose mind is fully absorbed in thought of him, even the world of Brahma is but an insignificant obstruction on the path. The infallible Lord bestows liberation on those pure souls in whose hearts he is present. Is it any wonder, then, that when Lord Achyuta's glories are chanted, all sins are destroyed. End quote. By the kirtan of Lord Vishnu's names, even the sinful Ajamil, who could not remember the Lord at all, attained liberation. The beneficial results of meditation, sacrifice, and worship are all automatically obtained in the process of kirtan, especially in the present age. Quote, what was accomplished in the Krita age by meditation, in Treta by ritual sacrifices, and in Dwarpa by worship of the deity of the Lord, in this Kali age is accomplished by loud chanting of the names of Keshava, Vishnu Purana 6.2.17. The claim made in this statement and others about the potency of Harinam Sankirtan is not merely rhetoric. It is proven by the life histories of many successful Vaishnavas. Text 149. If the sense of speech, which sets all the external and internal senses in motion, is brought under constant control, then the mind becomes stable and can properly engage in transcendental remembrance of the Lord. Remembrance thus develops as the fruit of chanting. Text 150. What? Again? In the sense of speech, if the sense of speech, which sets all the external and internal senses in motion, is brought under constant control, then the mind becomes stable and can properly engage in transcendental remembrance of the Lord. Remembrance thus develops as the fruit of chanting. See, because the Vaikuntha Dutas, I'm getting ahead of myself, I'm going to explain the next verse, which is, we just go on and read this, because it's so self-explanatory. So much work has gone into making this English clear. Text 150. If those attached to meditation of the Lord still insist that remembering is of greater importance, with their intelligence, they should make the following distinctions. Distinction. In meditation, the Lord reveals himself fully with his particular qualities. But in remembrance, the mind merely comes in contact with the Lord. Commentary. Some sincere and intelligent Vaishnavas are firmly convinced that meditation on the Lord is the best form of devotional service. Since they perceive an authentic spiritual taste from their meditation, their opinion must be honored. But as the Vaikuntha Dutas here suggest, this opinion should be adjusted to make it exactly correct. The advocates of the meditational process think as follows. The faculty of speech has the power to mobilize all the senses, both external, like the ears, and internal, like the mind. If a person steadies his mind by controlling his speech, either through silence or through Bhagavad Kirtan, he can begin the practice of remembering the Supreme Lord. So kirtan is the means to the goal of smarana. Again, this is the Purva Paksha. Scriptures may say that in Kali Yuga, the perfection of kirtan is itself the goal and automatically includes the results of smarana. But that is only in reference to the special situation of the modern age. It may also be said that the exceptional faults of Kali Yuga can be counteracted only by the very powerful process of kirtan, not by meditation alone or any other means. But actually, there is no absolute rule that meditation on the Lord is less than enough to to wash away the contamination of the modern age. Rather, hundreds of convincing statements of scripture confirm that simply remembering the personality of Godhead destroys one's sinful reactions. Thus, meditation is the best form of devotional service. So that's quite a purvapaksha to counteract that or to answer it and resolve it. One has to be very subtle and very intelligent. The Vaikuntha Dutas accept this opinion as long as it is qualified by the understanding that true meditation on the Supreme Lord is a very mature stage of devotional development. In meditation, the devotee realizes the Lord in the heart and directly perceives many details of the Lord's exquisite beauty and charm, from his feet to the hair on his head. But in the more usual smriti, or remembrance, the mind only comes in contact with the Lord as when one thinks, God exists, or I am the Supreme Lord's servant. So Prabhupada always used to tell us, it's not enough to just think that you're the Lord's servant. It's not enough. You have to actually serve. 151. If by the force of one's meditation, all the functions of the senses, sankirtan of the Lord, physical contact with Him, seeing Him, and so on, become absorbed into the function of the mind, that meditation may be accepted as better than chanting out loud. Stunning verse. Commentary. If a devotee becomes so proficient in dhyana, meditation on the Lord, that the devotional practice he sees earlier performed with his speech, touch, eyes, and other senses become spontaneous activities of his mind, then of course, for that devotee, meditation has become the most suitable practice. He can inwardly continue his shravanam, kirtanam, and so on, with or without the participation of his external senses. This is the concession that the Vaikunthas are giving, Vaikuntha Dutas are giving. Text 152. Whatever the devotional method by which a man with true spiritual taste feels satisfaction and complete joy, that is the method saintly authorities deem most excellent and effective for him. It is not only the best of methods, but the very aim of his endeavor. Commentary. How should we regard the meditation in which a Vaishnava does not experience the sensory functions of sankirtan, touching the Lord, and so on, but merely contemplates the Lord's form? That style of devotional service should also be accepted as perfect for the devotee who derives pleasure from it. When a devotee feels eager attraction to any of the nine kinds of service, that devotional service becomes the means for him to quickly fulfill all his desires. Moreover, his practice will gradually evolve into prema, the final goal of devotional life. So now one would think that that's kind of like the end of the road, but the Vaikuntha Dutas are not finished. It is so wonderful how they bring it back to sankirtan as being the most elevated form of devotional service, despite what they do say. Text 153. Sankirtan expands the joy of meditation. Meditation, the sweet joy of sankirtan.
Meditation.
The sweet joy of sankirtan. It's ellipsis. I'll read it again. Sankirtan expands the joy of meditation. Meditation, the sweet joy of sankirtan. In our own experience, the two methods fortify one another and are therefore actually one. Commentary. The Vaikuntha messenger's own opinion is that both meditation and Sankirtan are advantageous. The two methods support one another, and because one or the other may be more suitable in different times, places, and circumstances, their mutual dependence should not cause confusion. Either may be done separately, but neither in the end is complete without the other. Regardless of which serves as the cause and the effect, the two are essentially non-different. If you remember in Bhagavad Gita, I think it's in either 5th or 6th chapter, described that one who thinks that the process of analytical study and practical devotional service are different, then they don't understand actually the process. They're both the same. Someone who's actually realized. But the ones who are not realized, they want to make a polemic. Text 154. Meditation bestows the same joy as Sankirtan when a meditating devotee directly sees the object of his heart's desire. Such a devotee, intent only on reaching that one desired object he worships, is sure to find spiritual peace. Text 156. As by drinking cool, nectarian water, even if only within the mind, a diseased person stricken by fever enjoys happiness as the distress of his thirst is quenched, so simply by chanting the glory of the object one worships, one can attain peace. Yet, when saintly persons chant without inhibition, they may feel embarrassed, even in a secluded place. Commentary. In general, the tongue cannot fully describe everything going on in the mind. This is especially so in the ecstasy of Harinam Sankirtan. Vaishnavas engaged in Sankirtan may sometimes feel the urge to describe what is happening within their hearts, and although these matters are confidential, may sometimes, by their words and bodily expressions, disclose what should remain private. And this may leave them embarrassed, even when there are no witnesses. Text 157. Meditation one can successfully perform only in seclusion. See the train of thought. Meditation one can successfully perform only in seclusion. But Sankirtan, either in seclusion or in the company of many others. Commentary. The Vaikuntha Duttas have great respect for the process of devotional meditation. But Sankirtan, yet their own favorite process is Sankirtan. Meditation is limited because to perform it, one must be in isolation so as not to be distracted. Text 158. Of the many ways to chant Krishna's glories, foremost is his Nam Sankirtan. It is deemed the best because it can evoke at once the treasure of pure love for Krishna. Commentary. Besides Nam Sankirtan, chanting of the Lord's names, there are other ways of performing Sankirtan, such as reciting the Vedas, Puranas, speaking one's own narrations of pastimes of the Lord, singing devotional songs, and offering prayers. Nam Sankirtan, however, is the best of all, because it can at once independently awaken love for God in the heart. Lord Vishnu's messengers are personally convinced of this, and is implied by the unspecific expression matam. It is considered. This is also the opinion of many other spiritual authorities. Now they will begin to glorify the holy name. We've been prepared by them to hear the glories of the holy name. Text 159. When relished with love in countless ways, through service rendered constantly by the tongue, the nectar of Sri Krishna's name delights the heart. Who can describe the unequaled excellence of that nectar of Sri Krishna's holy name? Though all names of the Lord are equally great, a devotee most quickly and easily achieves his goals by chanting the name that he himself holds most dear. Commentary. Since the Supreme Lord's names are all infinite in their glories, one name cannot be greater than another. Chintamani stones may appear in different forms, but they all have the same power. Any Chintamani can produce whatever a person wants. Nonetheless, if a devotee is especially attracted to a particular name, that name will most quickly and easily carry him to perfection. Thus, the devotees who favor the name Rama like to cite the declaration of Lord Shiva, Sahasra, Nama Bistulyam, Rama Nama Varanami. My dear beautiful wife, the name Rama is equal to 1,000 names of Vishnu. Padma Purana, Uttara 72, 335. Text 161. Since people have different tastes, each name of the Lord is dear to one person or another. All the names of the Lord are therefore dear. Commentary. A doubting person might ask whether only some of the Lord's names are worshipped and others neglected. In fact, however, every name of the Lord has its devotees. The word "he" in this verse indicates that this is certainly true. Some Vaishnavas prefer one particular name of the personality of Godhead, and some are attracted to two names, three, or several. I mean, it just gets more and more nectarine, so I have to direction what I wanted to do is chant more after we hear this. But should I go a little further? Because it really gets.
Maybe we could save a little for tomorrow.
And then start right off from where we're at tomorrow.
Okay. I'm just kidding. Maybe the devotees come.
Well, they do it on television. Keep you coming back.
Yeah. Okay, somebody remember we're on text 161. I'll do this. Well, I don't know if I want to get this book back.
I'll just hold on to it.
I guess I will. Commentaries by the Mahants. Pretty wonderful.
What's your commentary?
What's my commentary? My commentary is, things aren't always what they appear to be.
Wow, that's deep.
Hey, sitting next to a teacher, so it's like, you know, like...
and a lawyer.
Yeah. Things aren't always what they appear to be.
What are they?
So it appears that the meditational process, which has reached that perfectional stage, should be the thing that's most exalted and most glorified by persons who are actually there, who have attained their spiritual bodies, like Bhakti Buddhas. But it's not actually like that. Actually, the process of Nam Sankirtan is actually the topmost perfection of life.
That is exactly what it appears to be, that statement.
To you.
To everyone.
Well,
anyway. It was well said.
Or to everyone in this room at this moment. But in general, in human society, it's not seen like that at all. And therefore, you know, Prakashana Saraswati was criticizing Lord Chaitanya for dancing in general with fanatics. And, you know, even though he was the greatest philosopher, the greatest, you know, holder of the truths, and they came out when they actually asked him what his opinion was about the Vedas, it all came out. But, you know, Lord Chaitanya was making his point. His spiritual master told him, simply chant Hare Krishna. And nowadays we think, maybe some of us, I don't know, well, you know, that's old-fashioned, or, can't you give me some, like, you know, solutions to the, you know, be practical, you know, all those kinds of trains of thought. When in fact, Prabhupada used to chant Hare Krishna in the hate and Lord East Side, and he would get all of these far-out people asking these far-out questions. Right? And, you know, Prabhupada would be explaining this most esoteric truth out of the deepest realms of the hearts of Sanatana Goswami and the Vaikuntha Dudas, that all they had to do was chant Hare Krishna, and they kept saying, yes, but, yes, but, yes, but. And then at one point, Prabhupada just broke down in tears. And he said to them, but there isn't anything more than chanting Hare Krishna. Please take it. Please take this as the panacea, the full solution to all problems.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur also said that. Namaskaya kore jatanatumi.
So this is a very, if you get this book, please get this book.
How many copies do you have with you?
One.
Oh,
I know. What can I say? Sorry about that. But anyway, it's available in the gift shop, I'm sure. Mirabai will be able to facilitate.
One thing is, when Mahaprabhu came back from Gaya, after he took initiation, he called all the devotees to his home, to the home of Suklambha. He told all the devotees to come there, all his dear friends, and then spoke to them of what was in his heart. And he said, why do we waste our nights just talking about this and that and in so many activities? Let us all gather together and chant Krishna's name. And then thus Mahaprabhu was starting the Sankirtan movement.
Yeah. And then
there's some story like that in Bombay. Devotees were staying out late missing the RT. I don't know if that's what I'm talking about. I think that's relevant.
It is. Yes. Srila Prabhupada was sitting on the roof of one of the old buildings at Juhu. And he saw that it was 7 o'clock, time for Sunday Arati, and there was no sound of kirtan from the temple. So he asked Haridas Prabhu, who was fanning him, where's the kirtan? So Haridas imagined that the devotees must have gone to the city to make life members and had not yet returned. So he gave Srila Prabhupada the same explanation. And Srila Prabhupada replied, that was not my idea, that the devotees should go out all day and collect they should come back and chant for the pleasure of the deities. And then he said, do you know why we were successful against Mr. Nair? Materially, Mr. Nair was much more powerful than we were, because he had wealth, he had influence, he owned the Free Press Journal, which was one of the three English daily newspapers in Bombay. He'd been the sheriff of Bombay. He knew so many political leaders, government officers. But we were successful. Do you know why? The reason is that we simply tried to please Krishna. It didn't depend on our material strength. So the devotee should come back early and chant in the temple, and the arti and chant in the temple to please Krishna. And by Krishna's pleasure we will be successful, not by our own independent efforts. And there were other times when Srila Prabhupada made the same point about devotees not staying out so late that they have no time to attend the evening program, the class, or the kirtan. Yeah. Of course, if we go out for programs, then we do the same thing.
Well, there's some mention there about something I remember about being like ordinary primitive workers.
Yeah, that was another incident that came to mind.
You're clever, the way you're not going to get away with it. That's why I asked somebody to remember the just in case.
I'll make sure.
Stealth, just some stealth person.
Well, in Bombay, Srila Prabhupada said the devotees should come back at 5 o'clock. Otherwise, if they just stay out collecting, they'll become like the karmis. And once in Delhi, Srila Prabhupada was giving class, and he noticed that Mother Jamuna wasn't there. And it turned out that she had been out shopping for the deities. And then he commented to her that, I believe to her, that you think that because you're out shopping for the deities, what you're doing is different from what the karmis are doing. But if you neglect hearing and chanting, then what you're doing will become the same as what the karmis are doing. So it's very important to maintain that balance. Was that what you thought?
I thought it was part of the original story.
Well, sometimes when I've spoken, I've brought the two together, but they weren't actually the same conversation. One was Bombay and one was Delhi.
Was he meaning that if we're doing something for Krishna and we're not Krishna conscious, then eventually we'll stop doing it for Krishna? What he meant by your shopping will become just like this.
I know something about this. Satsrut Maharaj. Prabhupada wrote a letter to Satsrut Maharaj about this. Mm-hmm. And he said that he used an extreme example in order to make the point to Satsrut Maharaj. He said the hearing and chanting is so important that even if you're dressing the deities, if you're not hearing and chanting properly and sufficiently, then your dressing of the deities will become like your dressing doll. I learned that.
Thank I can quote one purport from Chaitanya Charitamrita. You know, the verse is that we should always remember Krishna and never forget him. And all, you know, positive injunctions and negative prohibitions are servants of the one injunction to always remember Krishna, and the one prohibition never to forget him. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that the devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement are engaged in various services, like enrolling life members and distributing books. And because such activities are in relation to Krishna, they give the devotee the opportunity to remember Krishna. But then Srila Prabhupada says that still, of all the instructions of the spiritual master, the instruction to chant a prescribed number of rounds is most essential.
Didn't he mention the prescribed number?
Yes, 16 rounds. 16 rounds. Mm-hmm. And if we fail to chant the 16 rounds, then we will not be able to always remember Krishna. So that's, I think that's the idea behind what you said about Mother Jamuna shopping for the deity.
Yeah. Okay.
But he took it a step further, not just chanting 16 rounds, but hearing the class, especially when he was giving the class.
Now, just to balance this, I want to tell a story about Mayapur. We were taking a tour with Prabhupada. He maybe knows it better than me, I don't know if you should say it. Anyway, I'll tell it to you shortly. I'm taking a tour of the building. It was not long after it was completed. And we were on the roof. And Srila Prabhupada was walking on the roof. And he noticed... He noticed in the corner that there was a pile of rubbish from... You know, I don't know what it was from. Whatever, cleaning the rooms, or it was just at the end of the construction. It might have been construction. And then Prabhupada looked and he said, "What is that?" And then devotees were, you know how sometimes Prabhupada would pierce the atmosphere with a piercing comment or piercing glance. And he said, "Who's responsible for this?" And then some devotee said, "It's him." You know, could they imagine how you feel? He's standing in front of Prabhupada and said, "Him, Prabhupada." No, no. This person must have felt completely. Anyway, he made the comment that, "Well, Prabhupada, you know, I haven't done it yet because I still have to chant my rounds." And Prabhupada said, "Forget your rounds. Pick that up." So in other words, if a person, you know, like, just chants in here, but without the right devotional mentality and without the right service attitude, then also there's going to be a problem.
Yes.
So even though it's the most important thing, and even though it's the basis of everything else, and even though everything else is going to turn into something material if you don't do it properly and sufficiently, if you just try to do that without engaging your senses in practical devotional service with the proper service attitude, then you will also have spiritual difficulty.
One other conversation, or save it for. There's one other relevant conversation here, but I don't know if we should save it for tomorrow.
Why don't you say it now, and then we'll have
to. Okay.
Yes.
So, on one morning walk on Juhu Beach, Lokanath Swami asked Srila Prabhupada, "Why have you prescribed 16 rounds?" Srila Prabhupada said, "I've not prescribed 16 rounds. Minimum 16 rounds." And then Lokanath Swami said, but you know, other devotees are fixing other numbers for themselves. But, you know, you have prescribed 16 rounds for us." And Prabhupada said, "No, I haven't prescribed 16 rounds for you. Minimum 16 rounds." If you can chant 16,000, you should chant 16,000. Minimum 16. And then Yasumati Nandan Prabhu said, but what if there's service for the devotees? And then they want to avoid the service because they're chanting extra rounds. And Srila Prabhupada said, well, that is not good. It shouldn't be that, oh no, I'm sorry, I can't do any service now, I'm busy imitating Haridas Thakur. That is not good. So I think the idea is there's no limit to how much we chant, and actually Srila Prabhupada wanted us to chant as much as possible. But sincere chanting is a prayer to the Lord to be engaged in service. And if the Lord does offer us some service, we shouldn't refuse it in the name of chanting extra. Or even, you know, when there's an emergency, we have to deal with the emergency. We can't just chant.
Yeah.
And there in Juhu, Prabhupada gave the example, if they come to attack the temple, we can't just say, oh, I'm too busy chanting Hare Krishna. We have to rush out with lathis and defend the temple.
Now that we have a perspective, we should say something wonderful about chanting Hare Krishna too.
Yeah. Chaitanya Das. Chaitanya Das.
Is it relevant what Srila Prabhupada told Goswami Maharaj about the Bombay protest when he currently said there was, Prabhupada said that one life can be given to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to fulfill the desire of him, but a lifetime of him, whatever is deficient in fulfilling?
Well, the trend of the discussion now is going towards balancing all the statements about the glories of the holy name. So we were trying to glorify the holy name to balance all the
work that everyone was doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Involving the humanitarian problems.
Yeah.
Try to balance all.
Yeah.
But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said very clearly to Sanatana Goswami what you have read in the The Vairagi, those who are actually renunciate, their only business is to chant Hare Krishna.
Yeah. They will get everything done by that.
Everything.
Yeah.
They will get done simply by chanting.
Yeah. And that balances, because Prabhupada didn't mean that we shouldn't come to that stage. He meant if you're not at that stage and you try to artificial, then you'll create.
And even with the statement of Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, you mentioned about Prakashananda Saraswati.
Yeah.
Later he wrote this book, Govardhan Mahima. And in that, Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur said, Sravana Manana Kirtana Kritya Bhakta Anushilam. Although the Sravan Kirtan is the topmost activities, but actually Mahaprabhu showed Kirtan. Prabhupada Saraswati clearly.
Yeah.
You know, the activities, the prime activity is the Kirtan.
Yeah, that's the conclusion of Prabhupada.
Yes.
And then it goes on from there to reveal the pastimes of the Lord and how that's how you get them chastised.
It's also the final verse of the Bhagavatam is the same.
Yeah, exactly.
Sankirtan, glorified Sankirtan. Yeah.
And Mahaprabhu even said further that to his followers, Krishna naam hoite hoy saṃsāra mochan, Krishna naam hoite pave prema thon. The commentary is so sweet that simply by taking up the holy name, everything, mochan, you become delivered from that. And then again continue chanting the holy name, you'll get prema. Prema dham, that pleasure will just come to you.
Haribol! Haribol!
Namaste. Thank you. Thank you.